Today's episode is sponsored by the newly updated book by Jacob Topping, Merch in the World of Print on Demand. I've read through it, and honestly, yeah, it's crazy. It covers literally everything, even stuff you didn't know you wanted to know until you saw it. Like, the book was completely overhauled recently. It's now over 365 pages of pure print-on-demand content, including merch, Teespring, Redbubble, and so many others. If you want to learn about expanding your way past merch and not just placing all your eggs in one basket, I suggest you check it out. The link's in the description below. Hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning into the 4554 podcast. I'm your host, Nick Eden, and we are back with another show. I am kind of liking this Tuesday thing. I really am. Usually, the show comes out Sunday. I've had a couple of Monday shows, but I'm really kind of digging this Tuesday thing. I think Sunday and Monday get a little bit crowded. There's a lot of content that comes out then. And I also do my Merch in a Minute series on Monday, as well as Wednesday and Friday. So I'm kind of digging this Tuesday thing. And I'm thinking I'm going to take the 4554 podcast to a Tuesday format. That gives a good chance for me to get through the entire week. And then, kind of coast the weekend, see if anything crazy happens on merch. And then I've got the first business day of the week to talk about it and put it out on Tuesday. So I like this. I like this Tuesday thing. I think we're going to stick with it. Speaking of Tuesday shows, last week's show, my goodness, it stirred up the pot for a lot of people, apparently. Some people were very supportive to what I had to say about merch courses, and some people were not. And that's fine. Everybody's definitely entitled to their own opinions, and I respect everybody's opinion on how they felt about it. I don't think that I necessarily lost any subscribers or listeners because of it. As a matter of fact, I look at my SoundCloud numbers, and I had quite a few more than I usually do in that time frame. So just make sure you go back and check out that last show, The Controversy of Merch Courses. There's been a lot that's gone on in the merch community this week. And I don't want to rehash a lot of what's gone on. I will say this. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. And I'm going to stick by my friend Margaret. I'm not going to go into any details out of respect for her and out of respect for the other people involved. But I'm going to stick with my friend Margaret. You know, stand up for yourself if you feel you've been wronged. And that's pretty much all I have to say about that. But this week, and good God, if you've been listening to the 4554 podcast for this long, you know I have a love-hate relationship with who? Teespring. And what's crazy is I know so many people that are probably like, good God, man, just leave it alone. Just don't even deal with them. I can't. Every time I want to stop dealing with them, I get a $10 profit on one shirt. Like, I can't. I can't, man. I here's the deal. Do I have my issues with Teespring? Absolutely. From time to time, I think all sellers do. I don't bash Teespring like some other people have done. I will not bash Teespring like some other people have done, because Teespring gave me my real true start in print-on-demand t-shirts. And had it not been for the things that I learned and done on Teespring, I probably wouldn't be at the level that I am with merch now. And in general, I just believe in having your eggs in as many baskets as possible. And, I can't lie, Teespring has been a good basket for me. I'm frustrated with them at times. I'm extra frustrated when it comes to things like this IP situation that's still not gotten resolved. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, a few weeks back, someone took one of my best-selling designs on merch, put it on Teespring and Teachip, you know, I did all the proper, you know, reports and everything, and I still haven't heard anything back, and the church is still up. So I think in that regard, I'm gonna have to escalate that. And the only reason I'm bringing that out here is because I still do plan on talking about their internal ways that they're planning to stop copycats. But this being an external one, and I don't know if it's because I never put this particular design on Teespring, I just kept it on merch. If that's the reason that it's slowing down, or whatever the case may be, but hey, it's still, you know, it's still got to get handled. So, all that being said, today's show actually talks about one of the great things that I love about Teespring, and that's four reasons to direct your Instagram traffic to Teespring. Now, I get it. Most of the people listening to this are on merch, and some of you aren't on Teespring at all. My suggestion is, if nothing else, start. Just go get a Teespring account. What's the harm in it? You put the same designs up that you put up on merch. And if anybody tells you, oh, well, you don't want to put it on Teespring because it'll get copycatted. If you think that copycatting is exclusive to something that happens on Teespring, then you don't know this industry at all. And the person who's telling you that really doesn't know what they're talking about. As a matter of fact, because of the organic traffic and the popularity of merch in terms of its shoppers on Amazon, you're more than likely to get copycatted putting something on merch. I've had more copycats from merch, way more than I've had from something that I put on Teespring. That's my thing about it. So, get a Teespring account, upload them. Do they have the best organic traffic? Absolutely not. Do you have to drive traffic? Absolutely. But just like I posted last week and in one of the merch groups and on Merch in a Minute, you know, I got $20 on two shirts sold. That doesn't happen on merch. And you know, and I never want to do these type of shows where I build up another platform by putting down merch. That's not what I mean. Or build up merch by putting down another platform. And I think that most people get it so wrong. It's like, oh, you have to do one or another. It's not that. It's not Teespring versus merch. This is all print on demand. So just like you count your merch money in your monthly side income or full-time income, if it is so, you count your Teespring and your Redbubble and your Teachip and TeePublic and all these other places. That being said, Instagram is my preferred method of driving external traffic to my listings, no matter what platform I have them on. The top four reasons, and this is just coming from my personal experience, and it's ironic because I see on Teespring's blog that they have something similar, and it looks like whereas before, even though Facebook has always been Teespring's preferred method of promotion, they are pushing a lot of Instagram lately. But I've been talking about this forever. I absolutely love using Instagram. It's a wonderful way to push your t-shirts and really dig into your niches. So reason one that you want to direct your Instagram traffic to Teespring is the custom storefront. Here's the thing, it looks great. You do the custom storefront, everything that's in that niche, you drop into that storefront. It looks great on your desktop, it looks good on your laptop, it looks good on your tablet, and on your mobile. You can customize it to where it actually does look like an apparel store in terms of the format. And if it really, really starts to take off, what I've seen some people do is just purchase a domain and forward the domain to their Teespring storefront. And you got everything in there. Right now, I have about 10 different storefronts on Teespring. And of that 10, I drive traffic externally to about five of them. The other five are just kind of there for some of my trending stuff and some of my general evergreen stuff that I just kind of let sit and pull from Teespring's Boosted Network. So I would definitely suggest using Teespring's custom storefront as an option when you're pushing that traffic from Instagram. I would also say for anybody who wants to test the waters with their own store, I would encourage purchasing that domain, starting out with your Teespring storefront, seeing how you can drive that traffic, and then eventually building out your own site. Reason number two, the free mockups. Now, here's the part that hurts my heart. If you are a veteran of Teespring, you know there was a time where there were literally over like 100 mockups that they used in their partnership with Placeit. I've gotten some great mockups that I just can't get anymore unless I go ahead and get the paid version of Placeit. About a year ago, they cut the Teespring mockups down to about 10, which kind of sucks. And there's a workaround when it comes to Placeit, but they cut it down to about 10 mockups, and it may be less than that. I mean, they really cut it down. It may be like 7. But these are still really good mockups, high quality mockups, diverse mockups. So like for my African-American niche, I have some great ones for that. For just a general, you know, broader niche, I have some mockups for that. You know, really, really great. And yes, after a while, everybody does see the same mockups. I understand that, but they're really good quality. They come out great and they look great on social streams. So using their free mockups, limited as they may be, is still a great way to stand out from someone just placing the t-shirt on their Instagram or Facebook or whatever the case may be. Number three, 30 hashtags. And this is the part that I can't understand for the life of me why no one utilizes. When you put up a post on Instagram, you get 30 hashtags in addition to the description that you have for the product. And remember, while I'm thinking about this, to always put the link in the bio. Now, there are a couple of ways, and I have to go back and look at one of Margaret, Texas Gal Treasure's videos where she talked about the other way to have the links posted in the Instagram page. But for right now, just on a basic sense, link back to your bio. Put the link in the bio. I always put link to purchase in bio. But when you are putting these posts out, you get up to 30 hashtags. And I'm telling you now, use all 30 hashtags. All 30. The reason I say that is because depending on what type of niche you're in, especially if you've niched down, there are several different ways, and people are going to check these different ways that drive them back to that particular picture and get them to come to your page. Utilize all 30. Come on. I do it with my pro wrestling niche all the time. It is the difference maker. It is definitely the difference maker because you have such an opportunity, because some hashtags, the ones you think are going to be, oh, this is going to be a great one, and this is going to get so many people to come there. And it sounds great in theory because it's got 10,000, you know, hashtags so far for that particular one. And that's great until you see the one that has 844,000. So use all 30 hashtags. If you can't think of one, go to a thesaurus, go to a keyword website. And of course, none of them come to mind right now, but you know, find as many different terms in that niche and hashtag all 30 of them. And if you need to do a separate post where you do 30 more, do that. Reason number four, a quicker payout. Now, as a part of Teespring's new IP system, they have extended out the times when the payout is given. I think it's averaging a few days now, but I say, let's say it's a week, right? So let's say it's a week from the time that you request the payout. And I also think this depends on your trust rating with Teespring. I'll get into that more when we do the show about IP violations. But the payout is still quicker than, you know, some of the other ones. Merch, we all know it's at the end of the next month when you receive the payout for the previous month. With TeePublic and Redbubble, it's around the 15th of the month. With Teespring, you go ahead and you can request your payout, and Like I said, at this point, it may take a few days. If you request it on a Monday, you may get it by that Friday or by that Sunday. Whatever the case may be, it's still a lot quicker. And then that way, if you find yourself in position where you have a shirt that's performing well or a niche that's performing well, you can go ahead and take that payout from those sales that you've gotten and boost the post. And once you boost the post, you widen your audience and you have the chance to make more sales. The goal in all of this, and the goal over the next few months, is to place everyone in position that by the time Q4 hits, and I, in my heart of hearts, do not believe that Merch by Amazon will have another freeze this year. I think they have it together. I don't have any inside information, nothing like that. But when you look at the first freeze as compared to the second freeze, the timing on it was a lot shorter. So I don't think that it's going to be a situation where we encounter another freeze for Merch by Amazon. However, should we encounter another freeze, my goal for everyone who listens to the show is to have you completely ready on as many print-on-demand platforms as possible. That freeze or no freeze, you're making money on Amazon, you're also making money on Teespring, you're also making money on Spreadshirt, you're also making money on Etsy and Redbubble and TeePublic and so on and so on. I want to get everyone into the mind frame of knowing that you are in a print-on-demand business, not just the Merch by Amazon business. That's it, guys. Really quick show. Four reasons to direct your Instagram traffic to Teespring. That's all I've got for this week. And remember this: you can make as much money as you want to in print-on-demand, but you have to press the go button. Take care, and I'll talk to you next time.